Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you're in my life. Oh, yes, Lord. I'm so glad you came to save us. Oh, you came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Oh, you came.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross.
Studying the Word of God, we're in the book of Proverbs. We are in the 17th chapter of this book, and I believe we're in the 14th or so verse. We did finish with verse 13 last week, a very important verse for us to be mindful of. Because there in the 13th verse it says, whoso rewarded evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. That's a promise. That's a commitment. That's a law. That we must not reward good with evil. It's a very blanket statement. And if we honored this word, it would truly be well with us and society as a whole. But it says here, whoso rewarded evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. That's a very firm statement. You're rewarding good with evil. It says, evil shall not depart from that person's house. But how many times do we see people doing this and they think, I got away with it? Nobody gets away with stuff. There is an enemy that will make certain that evil does not depart from your house. It will be one trouble after the other. You think you've gotten out of something, there comes another, and then it comes another, then comes another, until that house is just plagued with disaster, with evil all around. No way of shaking it, because they rewarded evil for good. When we betray people, trust, when we lie, when we do things that create problems for other people who had no evil intent towards us, that's what happens. In fact, as we go deeper into this particular chapter, and we did address that leading to this, when people bear false witness, that's what happens. This is not a Christian word. This is the second time I'm using it. I should stop using it. But there is a faith religious system that talks about something called karma. In our language, we say, you sow it, you're going to reap it. The Word of God is going to tell us, as we go through this chapter, this book, he who sows the wind reaps the whirlwind. It doesn't come back the same way. It comes up harder. You put a grain of, not a grain, a seed of corn in the ground, you don't get a harvest of one corn. You get a cob. In fact, you get many cobs. You put an apple seed down, you get a whole tree. And before you know it, you have an orchard from one seed. So we have to be very careful on how we deal with people. So how do we avoid this? The Word of God says, bless and curse not, that this is how you inherit the promises of God. Do good to all men. That's what the Word of God says. Within your power, just keep on doing good, doing the right thing. And this law will not catch you unawares. Now it begins to lead us into some of the ways that this can begin to happen. Verse 14 says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. We talked about this last week. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. This verse gives a personality or a presence to contention. It's like it makes contention a noun. So it says, therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. It gives it a personality. So there's something walking around called contention. And you grab it, and now it becomes a spirit that works in and out of you. I've seen people change dramatically. Calm, level-headed people, all of a sudden, they become contentious people. They contend with everything. They fight in their house, fight in their car, fight with people outside their car, fight with people outside their house that they don't even, everything is fighting. That's a contentious spirit has come. It's a spirit that just wants to generate strife all the time. It's always critical about everything. This is wrong, that is wrong, but they are never wrong. They're never wrong, but everybody else is. It didn't just happen. It says, it is the beginning of strife. It's as when one letteth out water. And the best way I can illustrate it is that there is something that is blocking, that is damming, D-A-M-I-N-G, a flow of water. And when you take it out, all of a sudden, boom, there it goes. Before that, it was just a little leak here and there. And the more pressure is put on it, there it goes. Strife is like that. It starts very little, and then it becomes big. And nobody knows how it got here. What happened? How did this fight become like this? It's like a little spark in the forest, and before you know it, acres and miles of forest is burnt up, houses are burnt up, properties are destroyed, but it was just some little strike. That's how strife is. You don't want to get it going. You want to shut it off before it gets to the place where it becomes a major problem. So the word of God says, therefore, leave off contention. In essence, leave off strife. Get away from strife before it be meddled with. Go away from it before somebody starts meddling with it, because when you meddle with it, there it goes. It's like a cancer. You know, there are certain times that a patient has cancer, and the surgeon or doctor will say, we better not mess with this thing, because if we try to open this person up, we're going to give this thing oxygen. It's just going to go all over the place. That's the same thing here. Strife, don't even get started with it, because it has a funny way of spreading. This is the reason for businesses that have collapsed. This is the reason for churches that have split up. This is a reason for families that have just gone their separate ways and are not talking with each other, because wisdom had not been applied to make certain that certain things are not messed with. You have to think. In fact, there is this particular verse that we looked at earlier in verse 9. It says, "He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeated the matter separated very friends." Sometimes you need to not meddle. Now, I'm not saying hide stuff. That's not what I'm saying. And that's not what the Word of God is saying. But certain things you just need to let alone. Certain in life, there are certain things you don't want the answer to. There are certain questions you don't want to ask. Because if you know the truth, that's it. Protect yourself. Just no distractions. I'm not going to allow myself to get distracted by some little thing here. And when I start dealing with that, it becomes a whole big thing. So let it alone. You're not called to go attacking every hive. You want problems? You start going after every hive. And you find out that you mess around with hives, you get stung. So some things you need to just let alone. I pray and I hope I'm making sense to you from the Word of God. It's not everything. You know, a king that is busy putting his ears everywhere, listening to stuff, the Word of God says he's going to find out that his servants are busy cursing him. So let sleeping dogs lie. Is that what they say? Well, that's God's way of saying it. Let sleeping dogs lie. It's not everything that you want to mess with. Now, having said that, it goes on to verse 15 and says, "He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord." Notice the difference. He that justifieth the wicked. So you see the wicked doing something and you justify it. You commented on it. You justified it. You made it look like it's okay. And he that condemns the just. You see somebody doing the right thing, and you condemn that person. You're justifying the wicked, you're condemning the just. The Word of God says, you're both the same in the sight of God. You are an abomination to the Lord. God abhors that. Don't be justifying wickedness. I remember many years ago, how do I tell this story? Okay. I had somebody that was working with us here. We'd done good to the person who was working with us. And that guy had access to the church family and will visit and stuff like that. And there was a dear sister that just lived not too far away from here. She had cancer. And she came here. God healed her. The cancer went into remission. And she will even come sometime with her elderly mother, and out of the blue, this woman stopped coming to church. She was here, like, every service she was here for about a year or two. All of a sudden, I don't see her. So, what's going on here? Next thing I find out, she's in the hospital. So, went and visited with her. And I said, what happened? How did you come back with this thing? God had healed you. He said, well, that's what happened. And I was leaving. And says, Pastor, I need to tell you something. I said, tell me what? So she tells me about this guy that we trusted. We were doing good to this person. You know, had gone and said to her and the mother that they should will their house to him when they die. And they got very upset. And because of it, out of that bitterness, the cancer came back. Now, she died from it. But when I heard about this, I confronted the individual about it. I said, what's happening here? How do you do something like this? I brought some of the leadership from the church with me so I'm not confronting this person and having stories. And this is exactly what happened. They justified, well, blah, 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 blah. And the reason was because I think their son was dating this guy's daughter, and both families left the church. We didn't do anything wrong. The right thing to do is, hey, this is wrong. This thing that you're doing here is wrong. You shouldn't have done something like that. And stopped it there, bring about restoration for that family and everybody. This kind of thing happens a lot because of relationships. Oh, that's my friend. Well, when it comes to truth, this is my friend. Does not matter. If you love your friend, you tell them the truth. You don't support that which is wicked. You don't support that which is wrong. God sees as an abomination. It doesn't matter whatever else you're doing. It's an abomination to the Lord. So we stand for truth and we seek to bring about restoration. Love covereth a multitude of sins. And love will say, hey, restoration. We seek restoration. We seek wholeness. You did wrong. Let's deal with this. On my part, if he had just said, you know what, I was wrong. You know, or I miscommunicated, or whatever. Just stay the same way and just restricted certain things because I saw a particular weakness. And the only reason I had this person with us was because the Lord showed me the person's face. I remember I'd never met this man. I was driving to do a meeting in Saskatchewan. And all of a sudden, I see this face while I'm driving, right there in front of me, while I'm driving. And the Lord says, help him. Help him. Who is this person? And I think Papa was having special meetings here, and I see the guy. And the guy happens to be the father of a lady that was ministering at Rock Lake, playing keyboard and whatever else. And that's, I said, that's the face I saw. That's your father? Yes. Come on in. Do good, obeying the instruction of the Lord. Now, let me say something here that is of utmost importance. God does not tempt people. No, he does not. But I tell you what, if a man or a woman keeps on doing the wrong thing, and they're doing it to people that are just like them, and they need to be dealt with, God will set them up to do it to the wrong person so that judgment comes upon them. That is weird, but that's what I've seen, not only in the Word, but in real life. You've been doing such a, but you just did it to the wrong person. Anybody seen that happen? You're getting away with stuff, and then they did it to the wrong person. Not because that person is going to do anything to them or whatever, but they just did it to the wrong person. Person who was loving and kind and whatever else, and now they did it to that person, and now judgment comes upon them. And it's generational. So this is an area that we need to be very careful about. Be careful how you make judgments, who you're siding with. Do you know the full details of whatever it is that is going on? I think it's either in this chapter or in chapter 18. It talks about some guy comes and tells you a story, and they look like they justified until the other side of the story comes up, and you find out, oops, I'm so glad I didn't jump the gun. Because when I heard what you said, I thought this guy was the devil's cousin. But now that I've seen the truth, what's going on here? Don't get dragged into people's problems. Don't do it. Husband and wife are having issues. All of a sudden, you start taking sides. Don't do it. Stand for the side of truth. That's it. What's the truth? I'm not going to say you're right or you're wrong, but I'm going to decipher whatever wrong you did here, and whatever wrong you did here, whatever right you did here, whatever right you did here, but I'm not taking the side of anybody. Even God doesn't go about taking sides. The proof of it was when Joshua met the angel on the other side of Jordan and goes to the angel and says, whose side are you on? The angel says, I'm not on anybody's side. What do you mean not on anybody's side? You taking us into the promised land, you should be on our side. No, I'm on God's side. That's it. What, I'm on the side of truth. That's it. If you want to stay safe, stay on the side of what is the truth as far as I know it. What is God saying about this matter? That's it. That's it. That's a place of safety. Look at this next verse. It says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? A fool is trying to get wisdom. You see, what nonsense is that? He doesn't have a heart for it. You have to have a heart of love to be able to carry wisdom, to do the right thing. So the word of God continues and says to us, a friend loveth at all times. At all times? Does that exclude any time? A friend loveth at all times. Good, bad, or ugly, a friend loves. That does not mean that a friend condones everything that you do, but a friend will love you in spite of you. I love you. I love you, I tell you the truth. And having told you the truth, I still stick with you, you know, making sure that you continue to do the right thing. Love is a powerful key, powerful tool when it comes to relationships. Friends you love at all times. When you're up, they love you. When you're down, they love you. And then it says, and a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for adversity. Now, the word of God is going to tell us about family fights and how bad family fights can get. But God is telling us the reason why you have a brother is that the brother is supposed to be there for you when you're going through tough times. A brother is going through tough time, be there for them. Help them. That's why you're part of a family. Your friends should love you at all times, but your brother should be there for adverse times. Now, what it's also saying to you is this, that friends may spend more time with you than a brother. Let me say that again. Friends may spend more time with you than a brother. But the brother should be there when he is absolutely needed. That's what the word of God is saying to us. And the same thing should be true for us even in the family of God, because we are called to be brethren. You know, that we should be there when a brother is going through a rough time, that we be there to be of help and assistance to them. Now remember what we talked about previously, when we talked about in verse 15 and 16, he that justified the wicked and he that condemned the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. And we talked about the fact that we should stand on the side of truth. Well, in life, part of what happens, why people justify the wicked and condemn the just, is because of what they can gain. That's my friend. We do things together, we have coffee together, or that guy gave me some money, bought me something nice, he's a good person, while they're busy destroying lives. So you side with that. So this next verse tells us this: a man void of understanding striketh hands, and be cut short in the presence of his friends. And then it says, he loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalted his gate seeketh destruction. Then it goes on and says, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. Now, pulling all of that together, what we begin to deduce from what the Word of God is saying to us, because that statement, a man void of understanding striketh hands, is telling us about people making deals when they don't have a clue. You don't understand it, and you're jumping into something, making deals, but you don't have an understanding of what you're making deals with. You're investing in something, and you don't even understand even a little bit of it, and you're pouring everything into it, striking hands. He says you're going to become shorty in the presence of his friends. And become a shorty in the presence of his friends. What is a shorty? That's a person who is, how do you put it? You co-signing. A man void of understanding striketh hands and is co-signing. You don't know the full details of whatever, but you co-sign in so that this person can get something done. Okay. Why does that verse show up right after the previous verse? Look at the previous verse. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So, you're void of understanding. Oh, he's going through adversity, so I'm going to co-sign. Word of God saying, that's foolishness. Don't ever, I told my children, I will never co-sign anything for you. I will give you whatever it is I want to give to you. If I'm going to co-sign anything, it must be because I've already decided if I lose the money, I lost it. So it's not co-signing. It's I'm supporting you. The worst thing you can do, the Word of God is very, very, very clear about it, is don't co-sign anything. If you're not willing to pay the full 100% cost for it, don't co-sign. Why are you co-signing? Do you know, when somebody is in debt, they have $100, let's assume they have $100, that's what their income is, $100. They have a bill of $50. They say, can you spot me $50? I'll pay you in 2 weeks' time. If you are going to lend money, make sure that you're willing to lose it. Let me say that again. Because there's a good chance that guy, if they cannot manage their money already, after you give them that $50, they will mismanage it and they will not pay you back. So you need to be able to check and find out, how did this person get into this situation? Is it mismanagement or something terrible happened and that's why they fell into this situation? Well, help them. But have in your mind that there's a good chance this person is not going to pay back. There are people that have, oh, Pastor, I'm in this kind of a situation. Can you help me? I'll pay back. I look at them. You're going to pay back. Okay. Yeah, this is it. But I already taken my mind off of that money. If they bring it back and give it back to me, I say, praise the Lord. And I might give it back to them because I did not miss it. I might just sow it then. Or I might say, yeah, if you take half of it, I'll take half of it. Whatever. But you know my experience? Many times they grab it and you may hang around for a few weeks, months, and the next thing, they're gone bye-bye. I don't see them anymore. I didn't lose it. I already knew. I'm sowing it, trying to help. So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, when you make decisions, when it comes to helping, be certain that there's a close to 100% chance that you may not get that whatever it is that you're giving, especially when the person is mismanaging. Just bless them and just go on. Forget about it. Just go on. We've sown it. It's not going to kill you. But if you're waiting for that thing to come back by forcing it, sorry, it's better for you to say, no, I can't help you, than for you to give something to help somebody, expecting them in their strength and in their ability without them praying and believing and having God fix that particular problem to bring it back. So if you're going to give something to somebody, better spend your time praying for them. Pray, God bless this man, bless this woman, so that this problem that they are facing right now, that they don't face it ever again, that they will be lenders and not borrowers. Pray like that. Fast for them if you have to. I hope this is getting somewhere, because you're very quiet, just, it's like you're not blinking, looking at me. What is he talking about? I hope somebody's getting help. A man void of understanding, if you're void of understanding, you will strike hands and become it short in the presence of his friend. You're going to lose. That's basically what he's saying. You're going to lose. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. If you love strife, you love transgression. And he that exalted his gate seeketh destruction. What's the lifting or exalting your gate? It's you opening up. To strife. Your gate is a place of government or governance. You lift it, you exalt it, destruction comes in. Secondly, what it's talking about, exalting your gate, is the exalting of yourself. Becoming Look at me, myself and I. You exalt your gate, operating in pride, destruction is going to come. Plain simple. And it is connecting that kind of a pride to the loving of transgression and strife. He loveth transgression that loveth strife. The person who loves strife, and James tells us that it's an ungodly kind of wisdom, that person is going to bring about destruction to their lives, to their home, to their family. These are deep statements from the Word of God to every one of us. Don't love transgression. How far can I go doing the wrong thing and not be too far off? Checking boundaries. Check the boundary. How far can I go? How far can I go before there's a pushback? You go that way, you're doing it because of a kind of arrogance. There's no humility. Checking boundaries. Stay in your lane in life. Stop pushing to see how far you can get away with it. Children sometimes do that. And they do it, you know, they know they should not go to that place. And while they are going over there, they look in the side of their eye to see how far they can go. Adults continue the same. How far can I go? How far can I go with this wrong mindset before somebody pushes back and says, no, enough. How far can I go? That's how people get into immoral lifestyles. How far can I go? Where is the boundary? God says, don't do this. Okay, I know that's what God said. I know that's what God said. But what about this? What about that? Don't put yourself in a position where you come to a tipping point. You know what that is, right? The tipping point? You know what that is? Okay. You get to the tipping point, you're going down, and there's no stopping. There's no stopping. So stop loving transgression. Because if you love transgression before you know it, you're going to get into a place of strife. How far can I push? You're going to push, and somebody's going to clobber you. You're going to get yourself into something. And how did you get there? Pride. You exalted your gate. And destruction is coming in. Let us wrap up with verse 20. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good. It's another way of saying what was just said. He that had a froward heart, a heart of pride and arrogance, doesn't find good. And he that had a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. I might go up to verse 21. He that... He that had a froward heart findeth no good. You can't have pride and find good. But the other thing it's saying is that a proud person never finds good in others. Nobody else is good enough. Nothing else is good enough. They are it. That's the spirit of pride. Nobody else is good enough to do whatever. Humility says God has blessed us all. I'll do my part and I'll let you do your part. Because my part is going to complement yours and yours will complement mine. And together we'll achieve much more than I can achieve by myself. When there's pride, it goes out and it shows itself in this particular way. And he that hath a perverse tongue, falleth into mischief. A perverse tongue. Just whatever I think, I'll spout it out. Before you know it, you're going to talk yourself into trouble. Or you're going to text yourself into trouble. What is the word of God saying to us? Stay humble. Stop thinking that you are all that. Pay attention. Have understanding. Pursue that which is right. Because when you don't have that, all you have are activities of foolishness. I find this chapter a very important chapter. Right here in the middle of the book of Proverbs, there's so much in here for daily living. Think. Don't be brash. Don't just shoot your mouth off. Calm down. Because what I said something by the Spirit, I think it was about 2 weeks ago. What you're looking at or what you think you're seeing is not maybe what you're seeing. In life, take that as something that you use to filter through information. Because in life there's a, what do you say, sleight of hand? Is that what you say? Sleight of hand? See it? No, you don't. Hands are faster than their eyes. That's how people get scammed in life. Don't get too there's something that I've learned to do, and I'll share it. When I want to buy something of importance that is pricey, I don't buy it right away. I walk away from it. Oh, this is so nice. I have to have this. I have to have that. I'll stop it. I walk away from it just to make sure that when I buy that thing, it has that value. It will continue to carry that value. And it has saved me a lot of trouble. This might not directly relate, but it does, because this was God helping me. I went to purchase something today, this morning, and I didn't see what I was looking for, so I looked for an alternative. The alternative happened to be more dollars than what I was looking for. So the teller, their cashier, whatever it is, machine, wasn't working. So I had to take the picture of the code of whatever it was that I was buying, and I was buying about 10 of them. I took the picture twice. With my camera, I took the code. I took it. I went into the store, and I tried to find the code from my pictures and album. It was not there. I said, I took the picture twice. It's not there. What's going on here? They said, well, you have to have a picture of it. So I said, I'm not going to walk back all the way back over there to go take another picture. And they said, well, we'll send somebody to go do it for you. So they went, and I come out of the store, and I saw what I was looking for. And it was way cheaper than what I was going to pay for, that I had taken a picture of but did not have. Are you with me so far? So now I said, I found what I want. They offloaded whatever it was that they had put into my vehicle. And I went to the new place, took my picture, and went in, made my payment. God just saved me some dollars there. It was not from my doing. It was from something that he had helped me to do for years. Don't spend more than you should on anything. Get the right price. Do it the right way. Because this is the way I look at it. It is God's money. Whether I end it working somewhere, it is still God's money. Are we together? So, everything about whatever it is that you do, understand that it has to fall under a particular framework. The framework of you being humble in the sight of God. I remember one time I was purchasing something, and something I liked, of course, and the Lord asked me a question. The question was very simple, but very direct, but very intrusive, and it was this: is that how you should spend my money? Is that how you should spend my money? I said, I guess not. I guess not. No. I shouldn't have spent money doing that. That's no. But there are other times I spend money for something that maybe not the same as that, but something that might be challenged. The Lord might say, is that how you spend my money? And he's okay with it, because the reason I'm spending this money is to help me accomplish something else. There was a purpose behind that. It is not, and this is what I'm saying in all of that. When we talk about pride, we're talking about aligning ourselves with the will of God. How does God play in this? How is God honored in this? How is this going to impact my life or impact the life of other people. When God is not in the equation of what I am doing, it is very easy for a mindset, an attitude of arrogance to creep in. And if you let it, the end is you're going to get hardened in your heart. And when you start doing the wrong thing, you don't even know that you're doing something because your heart is already hardened. Your conscience is shut down. You're floundering with too many things. And now you've lost a sense of direction. Frowardness, pride, arrogance has crept in. And now you're talking foolish talk, acting crazy, and destruction is coming. And before you know it, you swept off your feet in this flood that just come. You can't swim in it. The force is carrying you wherever it is it wants to carry you, but you waded into it. And little by little, you've come to a place where you've lost control. This is what happens to lots of believers when they don't continue in the Word of God. That's when you cry out for mercy. And I speak from experience, not just preaching. When I harden my heart and say, well, you blah, 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 I'm not going to help nobody else. I'll keep on preaching and harden my heart. I thought I was doing somebody harm. I harmed myself. I got hardened and I could not hear God. How can you be a believer and you don't hear God anymore? Messing up. You find yourself messing up, shut it down. Don't be messing around with stuff that you have no business messing around with. Because it will bring corruption. Before you know it, you are striking hands with people without understanding. Your natural mind is running your life, not the Word of God. He's no longer Lord and Savior. And before you know it, a backsliding Christian, a backslider. You're supposed to be going forward, not backsliding. Or carnal Christian. There's no such thing. There are no carnal Christians. The Word of God says a carnal-minded person is an enemy of God. How can you be a Christian and be an enemy of God? Christians are led by the Spirit, and that means they're led by the Word of God. And when we read Proverbs, we should listen. Who is giving us all of this information? A man who's been there. He knows what he's talking about. A wise man. He had the gift of wisdom. Did God not give him a gift of wisdom? But who acted the most foolish? Because he did not listen. Anybody can be flopped up. So we need to remind each other because we love each other. Brother, I see something is changing. I don't know what it is, but I'm praying for you. Sister, what's going on? That's not how you normally deal with stuff. We help each other. We grow together. We prosper together. We're going to the same kingdom of God. You may not always be celebrated because you spoke up, to help a brother or a sister. But don't go down saying, I knew this something was wrong, but I said nothing. You said nothing? That's not love. Be bold enough to speak up. That's an act of humility before God. Anyhow, we'll leave it as that, at that today, and next week we'll pick up, or next Bible study we'll pick up from the 21st verse. I think that's a verse, the next few verses are powerful verses, you know, that will help us continue to grow. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the privilege that we have as we pursue your will. Lord, we're asking, oh God, for your help. In our own strength and our own ability, we cannot live as we should. But grace is sufficient. Your mercy, oh God, far-reaching. We ask, oh God, that you will help us live out life to the full, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Help us, oh God, to be truly friends and truly brothers to each other, that we seek the well-being of our fellow believers, that we do not stand supporting that which is evil, repaying good with evil. For Lord, O God, we never want to have evil abiding with us. We refuse everything that has to do with destruction. We know, God, that those tendencies and those attributes are not yours. So, Lord, we ask, oh God, that anything, oh God, that will dishonor you and that will hurt us be uprooted from our lives. So, Lord, oh God, that every day our lives, oh God, glorify you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for life in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us as your people, protecting our families. We thank you, Lord, oh God, that you are in charge of the weather that is over our city. We declare this very moment that every storm pass away from us in the mighty name of Jesus, that none of our properties be damaged. Satan, the Lord God Almighty, rebukes you. You are rebuked of the Lord. You, Prince of the power of the air, the Lord God Almighty rebukes you. You will not find our families. You will not find our homes. You will not find our properties. For the dome of God's glory surrounds everything that has to do with us. For we belong to the Lord. And all that we have belongs to the Lord. Thank you, Father, that it is so. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. And as we sow, let the blessings of God abound towards us. Let his peace garrison our hearts. And please be reminded about the concert that will be happening not this Friday, but the next, on the 19th of June. If you need, if you don't register, you can still go to the grounds if you are not able to pick up this code, or you can ask, you know, maybe Sister Christian or whoever it is that might have the code sent to them. That's the QR code, and we can pass it on to you, and you can do your registration that way also. But if push comes to shove, just show up, and hopefully there is seating available for you. Invite your friends and your neighbors. Let's all enjoy this experience together. And let me say hello to Sister Judith and Sister Carol. Bless you. I know Brad Bill is somewhere around there, somewhere. Oh, there you are. Bless you too.
Thank you, Lord, for this time in church tonight. A lot of wisdom came out. We've heard it before, but you know what? To hear it a second time, I even, you know, you got to grasp it. And you only grasp it by sometimes hearing it over and over and over. And the more we hear it, the better it is. So, thank God. The one thing that I know God showed me many years ago was test all spirits. Not all spirits that seem good are good. Or they might be good, but they're not for you. So test all spirits and let God be the guide in the things that you do. It's not that I've always been perfect, and I've learned, just like our pastor said, by experience. We've experienced so many things in life, we all have. But if you don't learn from it, you'll keep on doing the foolish things. And when you do the foolish thing, it's not a good thing. So we need to be wise. We need to follow the Spirit of God at all times. Test all spirits. In the name of Jesus. I want to thank everybody, Pastor. Thanked everybody for coming to listen tonight. John Beeson, iPad, Carol, bless you. God loves you.